Tonight, as we turn once again in God's Word, we will be looking at Psalm 40. And the first part of Psalm 40 talks about waiting patiently for the Lord. You know, those times where you've been calling out to Him, you've been laying your prayers before Him, and you're waiting and waiting for His response, where you're wondering what is going to happen with your prayers. And so we begin this time of worship actually with Psalm 94. This is one of my favorite psalms. And it's a psalm where the psalmist is once again feeling attacked. He's talking about his enemies. And he's calling out to God and saying, God, would you do something about these people? And the psalmist has a response. He says, take heed, you senseless ones among the people. You fools, when will you become wise? Does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who disciplines nations not punish? Does he who teaches man lack knowledge? The Lord knows the thoughts of man. He knows that they are futile. Blessed is the man you discipline, O Lord, the man you teach from your law. You grant him relief from days of trouble till a pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not reject his people. He will never forsake his inheritance. And what a great sense of hope and trust that gives to us. As people of God, we know that He will never let us go. That once we are in His hands, He will hold us tight forever and ever. And so as we come and worship Him this evening, we remember that we are God's children. And just as any loving parent would do, He takes care of us. He protects us and provides for us. He's the one that gives us life and the ability to be here this evening. And so we come and we offer Him our praise tonight. And as we do so, our Lord also greets you. Would you please rise and receive this blessing from our Lord? Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, from His only Son, Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please turn and greet your neighbors?
Our first song for tonight is Come Thou Almighty King, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
second song, let's sing Rock of Ages, page 342, verses 1 and 2. Song, we're going to sing Glorious Things of the Spoken, page 400, verses 1 and 2. Please stand as we sing. Before we go to God in prayer as a congregation, we're going to sing 737, Like a River Glorious, all three verses.
Thank you.
Well, I guess I'm leading prayer tonight. Unless someone else wants to. Well, as we prepare to go to God in prayer, are there any prayer requests that you might have to share with us? Yes, Pat.
I think we have to give a great big thank you to God for taking care of Amy, getting her this week, and getting her to come. Just continue prayer, know that everything goes well.
Amy Vandenberg had a new heart put in case you didn't know. And everything I've heard was it was going well. Has anyone heard any different? I heard, at least initially, it was even going much better than they expected. So, wonderful thing to hear. Anyone else? Shirley. Oh, good, good. So it is helping.
Yeah.
Good. Yes. All right. It's always nice to have cousins here, isn't it? Dewey. God's hand has been upon both of them, taking care of them. Anyone else? All right, would you join with me as we go to God in prayer? O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we know that you take care of us each and every day. We hear in your word that you knew us even before we were born, that you knit us together in our mother's womb. Lord, it is amazing to think of how much you know, to realize how much you are in control of, to think of how you know all things at all times, you are all places always. And then to think that you are here with us even now. Father, may we be humbled to know that we are always in your presence. Father, we ask that you would forgive us. Because as soon as we know that we are in your presence, we recognize that we are sinful human beings. As your creatures, Father, we have so often gone against you. We follow our own will far more than we should. Father, we ask that you would show us our sins and that we would be sorry for them. We thank you for the great promise that you have given to us, that if we come to you and ask for forgiveness, you will not only forgive us for our sins, but that you will remember them no more. Thank you for washing us clean. We know, Lord, that there are many in this world who have no desire to ask for forgiveness from you. There are so many who go around and declare that there is no God. They act as though they are the Lord of all. Father, we ask that you would speak to them. May your Holy Spirit move in their hearts so that they will come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And Father, if we can be the instrument of grace in their lives, may we do so. Lord, we thank you that we can come together and worship you tonight. We think especially this weekend of the freedom that we have to do this, that we can come and voice openly and freely who you are and what you do, that we can sing your praise, and that we can join together in prayer. Father, you are a great God. We have seen you do so many wonderful things in our life, and you continue to do that. We thank you for how you have watched over Amy, the protection that you have given to her as her new heart begins functioning. We thank you for all the good news that we have heard, and we ask that you will continue to give her strength. May this heart bring her a new sense in life. May it give her that ability to go around as she once did. Lord, it has been a long time that she has struggled. But we give you thanks for this great answer to prayer. Father, we hear of Linda and the struggles that she's had, where the doctors are baffled and cannot figure out what is going on. But we thank you for the blood transfusions that she has received. We thank you for how that has helped her. We ask that you would give answers so that they will be able to correct whatever is going on. But for now, may you continue to lift her up and give her what she needs for each new day. Lord, we thank you for safe travel. This summer especially, we think of all those that go on vacations, who are traveling around to their cottages and to many other places. We thank you, Lord, for cousins who can make it home safely. We thank you that you have protected us over many, many miles on the road. And even though there may have been times where we have been in accidents or close calls, you have continued to protect us. Thank you for those times where we didn't even realize that you were preventing a serious accident. Lord, we know that you are at work in ways that we don't even begin to understand. We thank you, Lord, for how you have protected Dewey and Lois and the family with their son's heart valve. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done to watch over him. We ask that you would give him strength as well and that he will feel better every day. We pray, Lord, for his sister as she deals with her issues as well. Father, help her as it can often be hard and it can pull on us emotionally. Lord, may you protect her and give her health. Father, as we sit and watch ones that we love who are not feeling well, it is hard. And we ask that you would give us the peace and the hope that only you can give. Father, we thank you for the ways that we have seen your healing hand upon those who have had cancer, those who have dealt with pain in their back and neck and other places. We think of how you have watched over so many of us through so many years of our life. And Lord, we often don't think of how you are taking care of us until something happens. But Lord, we ask that you would give us a thankful heart, that we would realize each and every day the blessing of life, and that we would live it to the fullest, that we would understand that you have given us this life so that we might be your instruments, your tools in this world. Father, may we see your hand at work and desire to join with you. Lord, we know that we live in a country where we have been blessed. And yet there are issues that that concern us. There are people making choices that we know are not according to your will. Lord, we ask that you would draw us closer to you. That as a nation, you would bring up leaders who follow you. And that we would turn back towards you. Lord, we know that we have come here for a purpose. And we ask that as we come here to worship you, that you would truly be honored. That as we join together as one, that we would do so in spirit and in truth. That we would not be here because it is our habit, but because it is our desire to worship you. So, Lord, we ask that during this time we may hear you speak and that we may go out from here responding with joy for the great God that you are. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do, and especially for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, as he gave himself for us so that we might receive that greatest gift of eternal life. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This evening we turn to Psalm 40. And we look at just the first few verses of this psalm. During the summertime, we've been spending a little bit more time on some of the psalms, and there is such a richness in these psalms. You can read these psalms every day, and it seems like they were ones that were written specifically for you, that they have the same thoughts and emotions that you have. And so as we read this psalm, we not only see ourselves, but we also see God. And so as we do, you hear my voice. But I remind you that these are the very words of God. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. This is God's word for us this evening. Psalm 40 is almost like a continuation of the psalms that came before it. Because starting in Psalm 37, we get this theme of waiting on God. And so from Psalm 37 through 38 and 39, we keep hearing this theme coming back, that the psalmist is waiting for God. And finally here in the first verse of Psalm 40, we see that God gives an answer. Because he talks in the past tense and saying, I waited. It's something that I had done, but now I don't have to anymore because you have come and answered my prayers. We hear that the author of these psalms had gotten to a point of hopelessness, of wondering and waiting, of worrying that God isn't going to answer that prayer. And I'm sure most of us have had times like that in our lives, where our prayers feel like they get stuck somewhere, where we sometimes wonder, do our prayers even make it up to the ceiling? Does God actually hear what we're saying? Where we wonder, how many times do I have to pray this prayer, God? God, are you going to give me an answer? For three psalms, we find the author doing this. And you can imagine that with each one, as we get further along, the author is wondering even more. God, what is going on? God, when am I going to get this answer that I've been waiting for? It's one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? To wait. Whether we're waiting for surgery or waiting for a child to be born, whether we're waiting at a traffic light or we're waiting for someone to come and visit. We spend a lot of our life waiting, and we probably don't even think much about it because it's just so much a part of life that we just come to expect that we are going to wait. If you go to the store, you're going to wait in line. At least, it's almost guaranteed that you will. The New York Times wrote an article about this, and it said that Americans spend roughly 37 billion hours each year waiting in line. So that comes out to roughly 120 hours per person every year. So about 5 years or 5 days out of every year you can check off as time that you're going to wait. That doesn't sound so nice, does it? We don't like to wait a few minutes. But to think that you spend 5 days out of every year just waiting really sounds bad, doesn't it? And you begin to think, well, what could I be doing instead? I mean, what great things could I do with those 5 days if I didn't have to wait? I mean, there's so many other things that I could be doing, right? Well, the New York Times went on to report some interesting fact. They said some years ago, executives at a Houston airport faced a troubling customer relations issue. Passengers were lodging an inordinate number of complaints about the long waits at baggage claim. In response, the executives increased the number of baggage handlers working that shift. And the plan worked. The average wait fell to 8 minutes, well within the industry standards. But the complaints kept coming. Even though people were waiting shorter amounts, they were still complaining just as much. The airport executives were puzzled by this. And so they started to study it even more, in more detail, to try to figure out, well, why do people keep complaining if they're waiting less? And they found out that it took passengers 1 minute to walk from the arrival gate to the baggage claim. And on average, they spent 7 minutes standing there waiting for their luggage. So about 88% of the time, from the moment they stepped off the plane until they got their bags, was spent just waiting for that luggage. And so these airport executives used their intelligence, and they decided to switch things around. So instead of making your baggage claim the closest they could get to your gate, they put it as far away from your gate as they could. So you spent more of your time walking to get to your luggage and less time standing there and waiting. And do you know what happened to the complaints? They dropped to almost zero. People were okay if they could be doing something during that time. If they could be walking, it was okay. But if they had to stand there and wait for that luggage, then they had a problem. We don't like to wait around for things. I mean, we would rather go a longer distance driving just so that we didn't have to spend time at a stoplight. Just so that we could keep driving and do something. Because we sit and we begin to think, this is a waste of my time. And when we wait, our attitudes usually change for the worse. I wonder how good are you at waiting? Do you enjoy waiting for things? When you have to call up a company on the phone and they put you on hold right away, are you excited that you get to wait on the phone for someone to come and talk to you? Patience is something that we all struggle with. All of us have a problem waiting for things. And you know, I've noticed that the older I've gotten, the less patience I actually seem to have. And I keep thinking it should be the other way around. I should be getting better at this. I should be learning that, you know what, you just have to wait. I should accept it and just go on. But I don't know what it is, if it's the pace of life around me, or if it's this feeling of I have to get more things accomplished. But for some reason, it seems like patience gets weaker and weaker. And the same thing happens so often with our prayers, doesn't it? We pray over and over again for the same things. We keep coming to God and saying, God, I've said this to you for a couple months now. God, come on, can't you give me this answer? God, when is this going to happen? And I think it's so easy for us to get impatient with God. To have this feeling of God should respond at my time. I want God to give me an answer when I say He should. But for better or worse, God doesn't operate on our timetable. God doesn't say to us, now when do you need this answer? I think sometimes God waits purposely so that we will have to learn some patience. To realize that we don't always get everything we want when we want it. And to teach us that we still have something to learn. But it's times like this when we are waiting that we can sometimes feel like God has forgotten us. That He doesn't care about us anymore. That maybe we had done something wrong and so God is punishing us and He's not going to answer our prayers for a while. Or we even begin to think that, I guess God's just decided not to give me an answer. But here in Psalm 40, we find that David is no longer stuck. He's no longer in chapters 37, 38, and 39 of waiting. But now he can come out and say, I have waited. I spent that time, and it's over. Now I have an answer to this prayer. He says that God lifted him up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. When I hear those words, I get a picture of the movie Shawshank Redemption. And it's a movie about a man named Andy who gets imprisoned. He's falsely accused of killing his wife and his wife's lover. And he gets thrown into prison. And he knows that he's going to be there for a long time, so he settles in and he begins to study. He figures he's going to make the most of the time that he has in there, and so he actually ends up starting a library in the prison. He gets put in charge of it and is given a lot of other duties because he is one of those prisoners that the guards look up to and trust. Because he always follows the orders. He always does what he's supposed to. He doesn't complain. Little did they know that every night when they shut off the lights, he would spend time in his jail cell breaking a hole in the wall right behind one of the posters he hung up. And eventually he gets to the point where he makes a hole he can crawl through. And he goes to a sewage pipe. And he busts a hole in that sewage pipe big enough for him to crawl into. And on one stormy night, he's able to crawl 100 yards in that sewage pipe and find freedom. And when he comes out of that pipe, you can see that freedom just jumping out of him. You can see the joy that he has of realizing that not only is he out of that sewage, but he's not locked up in that cell anymore. There's this immense relief and joy that he receives in knowing that he is now experiencing freedom, something that he has been waiting for so long. Once all he had was hope. But now he understands what it means to have that hope fulfilled. And David talks in that same sort of manner here. He says that he's no longer stuck in the slimy pit that he was in. God has lifted him out of that pit that he couldn't climb out of. He was stuck in his sin, but God showed mercy on him and pulled him out. And now we find David on solid ground, smelling that sweet air of freedom. You know, there are so many ways that we see this in our world today. I remember reading about a woman that was held hostage as a slave. She lived in a dark basement chained to the wall until a man comes to the house and wants her service. And for years, she was stuck in this dark basement until one day the police come in and free her. They take off the chains and they lead her out of that dark basement into a bright, sunny day. And there was no band there to celebrate. There was no clapping or expression of joy other than the tears streaming down this woman's face. Because she had lost hope in ever knowing freedom again. But now she was finally free. She had been lifted out of the slimy pit of slavery. But it's not just physical pits that God frees us from. We've all heard stories of those who have been trapped in an abusive relationship, or been addicted to drugs, or even believed that there was no God. But somehow God takes a hold of them and releases them from their pit. All around the world, God is freeing people from their pits of despair. Some of them are unfairly forced upon by people who are in power. And others are living in a pit that they have dug for themselves. They may have fought hard for years to get out, losing hope and coming to the conclusion that they will never be free. And you can't explain to someone what it feels like to be released when they're still chained up. But we as Christians should be the first ones to share what it feels like. Because we know what it means to be released. Because we were once slaves to sin and we are no longer. We have been freed by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a freedom that you can't even really put into words. A freedom that changes not only how we act, but who we are. And if we have been set free, then we have something to share with others. We are the ones who have experienced deliverance. You know, the third section of the Heidelberg Catechism is all about how we can give thanks to God for our deliverance. About showing that gratitude of realizing that because of the cross, we are free. And not just free in this life, but in the life to come. In the second section of the Heidelberg Catechism, we are told that God the Father provides for all our needs. In those times in which we feel like we are in a pit where there is nothing for us, we're reminded that God the Father will provide for us. It talks about the astonishing way that God the Son saved us from sin and hell. And we find God the Holy Spirit comforts us when we're struggling. When we're feeling the weight of the world upon us, the Holy Spirit can come and comfort us. But there are other smaller ways in which God delivers us. How about that time when someone was sick and you prayed for healing and God restored that person? Then there was the time when you were worried about making ends meet, but God took care of you. And now it's just a memory for you. There are so many items that we ask God to bring us out of, and so often God pulls us back up on our feet. But we suffer from short-term memory loss. We spend so much time praying about a situation. We spend so much of our prayers asking God for things. And then when God finally answers our prayers, we forget to go back and give Him thanks for that. It's like those 10 lepers whom Jesus healed. And of those 10, only one came back to say thank you. We have a prayer group that meets here every Tuesday morning. And every week when we meet, I write down the prayer requests that we have for that week. I'm on my second notebook full of prayer requests. And just recently, I looked back over those. And I realized how many times God has answered our prayers. How many times He has done it in incredible ways. And I begin to think, we spent all this time praying these requests. But then as soon as God answered them, we set them aside. We didn't come back to them and say, God, thank you so much for answering all of these prayers. For all the amazing things that you have done. And I wonder what God thinks when we forget to show gratitude to Him. When we keep coming to Him with all these requests, when we ask Him for things over and over again, when we sit there saying, God, how much longer do we have to wait before you answer this? And I can just hear God saying back, look at your notebook. Remember all of your prayers that I have answered. Give me thanks for what I have done. and remember that I am God. Down south in areas like Louisiana, when there is a funeral, they march out to the cemetery very slowly, playing a dirge. And it's a somber song. It's a song of mourning. But after they have buried the person, they begin their march back. And the song that they play on the way back sounds so drastically different than the song on the way out there. On the way back, it is a joyful, beautiful dance of jazz that they play. On the way back, they are still giving thanks. And there's a huge difference between the dirge and the jazz. And I think that we can live in either one of those two. We can live with the dirge, where we spend all our life with the problems, with the stress, with the prayer requests that we bring to God, and forget the dance of joy. Those two are both important. But it seems like we often choose one or the other. And I think far too often we live in the dirge. David shares with us here in Psalm 40 that there is a contrast that has come over him because he's been delivered, because he had waited and God answered him. And this change that comes about through redemption is one that changes David's tune. Now, as a musician, he could have literally meant that God put a new song in his mouth, a hymn of praise. But this isn't just about music. It's about an attitude, a direction in life. David is saying that life is different now. Instead of despair, there is joy. He's moved from a place of lacking hope. And now he stands on the solid ground of hope fulfilled. Those prayers of asking God to deliver, those hours and days, even years of waiting are over. And now there is a song of thankfulness. What kind of song does your life sing? Are you a joy-filled person giving thanks to God every day? Or do you live in an attitude of worry and grief? I love the way that the Westminster Shorter Confession begins. It asks, "What is the chief end of man?" In other words, what is our purpose in life? Or why did God give us life? And the answer is both uplifting and beautiful. It says that we are to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. May you glorify Him. May you truly enjoy Him, knowing that He is the one who pulls us up out of the slimy pit, up out of the mud and mire. He is the one who gives us a new song, a hymn of praise. Our God is good beyond measure. His blessings have no end. His love never stops. His faithfulness is eternal. What a great God we serve. Join with me in prayer. Oh, great God, there are many things that we can bring to you, many struggles of life. But Lord, we ask right now that you would just hear our thanks. Father, we know that we do not give you thanks nearly enough. You have answered so many of our prayers. And we know it hasn't always been in our timing. But we give you thanks for the great love that you have showed us over and over again. We thank you, Lord, for the amazing ways that you have worked. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to listen to us, that you love us and care for us, that we are here today to praise your name for all that you have done. And Lord, we ask that you would give us renewed hearts, hearts that desire to give joy and praise to you in all that we do. That we would see as we go out from here that everything we do is to be in worship to you. And so may you accept all that we do as praise. Lord, in those times when we sink down, when we're dealing with the waiting in life, may we have the peace that only you can give and realize that you will answer our prayer in your time. Thank you, Lord, for being a God beyond measure, full of love and grace and mercy and faithfulness. Lord, thank you for being that great God. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As a profession of our faith, we join together in the answer to Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer one. Would you respond with the answer to this question? What is your only comfort in life and in death?
Together.
May you go out as God's people, knowing that He goes with you. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.